And so I was preaching, and it got about 8:15, closer to 8:20, and I thought, man, I have preached 45, 50 minutes. That's what I thought. But I'd really just preached about 30 minutes. But I'll tell you, my wife says it's better that way than the other way. Our church, we used to start at 6:30, and then we changed it. We changed a couple of times. We started back on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So I was preaching one Sunday night, and I thought we'd started at 6:30. So when it got, 7 o'clock or whatever, I thought, man, I can't quit now. I mean, they won't even give me a paycheck this week. And so I preached for a solid hour. It hit me after the dismissal prayer when I was walking back to shake hands with people that I had preached about an hour. I don't think I've ever done that maybe a long time. But anyway, that hit me last night. I kept looking at that clock and I said, man, I'm going overtime, But anyway, we had a good service last night. The Lord blessed and I felt the presence of the Lord, and I talked to some of the young people that are not saved and told them we care about them. We care about them. We're praying for them, and they were glad that we do. Psalm 40 will be our psalm today that we're going to study. And probably one day we'll go to Psalm 23 and maybe Psalm 73. Yesterday I introduced the subject. There's 150 psalms, of course, in the book of Psalms. And David wrote some 73 of the psalms. And he divided those in books, five books, and those go along with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In your studies, maybe you'll see some similarities in that. But there's many passages of Scripture that mean a lot to us, and some things that just jump out at us, and some things that we really that really mean a lot to us as we go through life. Let's look at Psalm 40 in verse number 1. Of course, these are songs. And these are the verses of those songs. Can you imagine? Psalm 119 has 176 verses. If we were singing that, it would take us a while to get through those verses, I think. But this has 17 verses, and I'll read those in your waiting here. It says in verse 1, I waited patiently. Now, we could stop there and preach for an hour probably or so. But I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, and even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. Thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Reckoned is a good word, by the way. Do you notice that? And it says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in. The volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. And thou knowest I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Verse 11 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. I talked about that yesterday. Here's what we want the Lord to do. We like it fast service, don't we? Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish be evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that they say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Verse 17, the last verse. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it blesses our hearts. We thank you for what it means in our lives. We thank you for the message that we can tell to a lost and dying world of Jesus Christ and his power to save. I pray today as we study your word that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts and minister to our hearts. We need you more today than ever before in our lives. We need to hear from heaven. We need to follow the instruction of your word. And then we need to be the example and witness to a lost and dying world that we should be. I thank you for this church. I thank you for her pastor and his family. I thank you for Harmony Baptist that's represented, maybe others that are represented here today. I thank you for Brother and Sister Carter. I thank you for the influence that they've been in our lives. I pray your blessings upon them. I pray for our family back home and our church and our missionaries, these missionaries from these churches that are preaching the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray and ask it all. And amen. Psalm 40, a psalm of David. And the theme of this psalm in the beginning is waiting on the Lord. Now, the word wait is a word that not many of us like. We go, and we could say that really our lives could be, if you wanted to describe our lives, it'd be lives of waiting. When we go to the hospital, there's waiting that takes place. In fact, there is a waiting room. You know, they call it a waiting room. In the doctor or dentist's office, we're instructed to take a seat and to wait on the doctor, to wait on the dentist. Then we sit in the examining room when they take us back to the room, and what do we do again? We wait again. At a restaurant, we have a waiter or a waitress. Why? Because we're waiting on our food. Even fast food service anymore has become less fast. I've been in places where the fast food restaurant was slower than a regular restaurant, and I said, they give new meaning to fast foods, don't they? I was in a grocery store in Florida where my parents used to live, and I went there to get a bag of ice, and I was in the express lane, and the ice started melting as I waited. That's what goes on in our lives. But because of the fast food service and all those kind of things, we've become very impatient. We don't want to wait. We want what we want now. The military has been described as hurry up and wait. That's what it has been described. Doing God's will sometimes will mean that we have to wait. We should not get ahead of God. We should be in obedience and following God. But the Bible says here, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, I talked last night about compassion and about how that we want folks to be saved, our family members and people that attend church and maybe co-workers and friends that we have, maybe neighbors. But we want them to be saved now. And the Bible does say today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is accepted time. But while we're waiting, what are we to do? The Bible says we're to occupy until he comes. But we are to love God. We're to serve God and maybe serve others at times. And we're to be a witness. So the waiting part can be good for us. Waiting on the Lord. And what happens many times in our impatience, we get ahead of the Lord and we try to make things happen that he's going to take care of, but we want to do it with our own power and strength. And what happens is when we're not waiting patiently on the Lord and we do it in our own power and strength, you know what happens? We make a big mess. I've done it. Perhaps you've done it. Doing the right thing, but not at the right time, and maybe not in the right way, and not waiting patiently on the Lord. This thing keeps popping off right here. Verses 1 through 4, David said this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And so there were four benefits that David received from waiting. Four benefits. You know it's beneficial to wait on the Lord, to wait on his timing, to wait for him and his leadership and guidance. We're following him, but at the proper time, at the right time. And we've all probably failed in these areas. The Bible tells us that God lifted him out of his despair. He lifted him out of his despair. He was despaired. He was discouraged. And God lifted him out of that. God set his feet on firm ground. And that's what God does for us. He established his going. What does that mean? That means he steadied him. We cannot live the Christian life in our own power and strength. We must have God working in our lives. And I want to tell you this. The closer we are to God, the more that we see that we need God's power and God's strength in our life and waiting patiently on the Lord and what he has for us in our lives. And then God gave David a new song. The Bible says that he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he established my goings and he put a new song in my mouth. I was telling, I don't know if I told it here at church, I think I did, about these people that camp beside us in Indiana. And they play rock music, I guess it is, hillbilly music, all that kind of country western, all that. And I went over to them and I asked them if they could play a song I liked. And they said, what's that song? I said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And you know what? They said, we like that song. You know that Amazing Grace is played at a lot of public funerals and things like that. And a lot of people that don't even claim to be saved, they have that going on and so forth. But God put a new song in his heart. He put a new song in his mouth. You know, used to when the commercials, you'd hear them on the radio and TV if you had a TV, and they were beer commercials. And if you didn't watch, they were kind of catchy. And if you didn't watch, you'd be whistling them or humming them, maybe whatever. And they were against everything we stand for, but they were repetitious and they were in our mind and heart. But now, of course, I don't think they're allowed to have them on there, but we come to church. I sit behind Melinda and then sometimes sit beside her after service. And a lot of times she'll just hand me the book because she knows all the words. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you something. These hymns, we can remember the words. Some of these new choruses they have and stuff, and I'm not against choruses, but some of them, you can't remember the words. But these old hymns, listen, these hymns were the same hymns that were sung when I was a boy. I know that's the Stone Age. I know that. I understand that. But they were sung when I was a boy, and I still remember them today. We have a 13 and a half acres at our church, and we used to have an old farm all tractor with a bush hog. And the thing wouldn't run very fast. Old red tractor. We'd had to change bush hogs several times. But I was on staff, and I was associate and youth director and all that kind of stuff. And my job was to go out there and mow that 13 and a half acres. And I'd get out there on that tractor, and sometimes I'd sit so long. It took so long to mow that 13 and a half acres. I mean, man, it was hot, and just like it is today and everything. And I'd be out there on that tractor, and sometimes I'd stand up on that, stand up beside the seat there and steer that thing and all that kind of stuff. And man, they could hear me singing up at the church. They'd say, who is that singing? They'd say, that's Dennis. He's out there mowing the grass. He sings. And sometimes I was praying. I didn't close my eyes, but I was praying. And sometimes I was preaching and things like that. But those were really some good times. And those hymns came to memory, and I'd start singing them. And they do something for me. I hope they do something for you. David had a new song. When the Lord saves us, we have a new song to sing, don't we? And thank God for that. Verse 6 says this, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. The religious ritual of David's day involved sacrificing animals in the tabernacle. That became a ritual. And what happens today is things become ritual to us. Well, I go to church. I take the Lord's Supper, or receive the Lord's Supper, and I give in the offering. And they just become automatic, and they become a habit, I guess, kind of. And that's a good habit to have. But they ought not to be a ritual. They ought to be something that every time that we do those things, we think about the Lord. And we think about how important it is. It's just like reading this psalm here. Now, we've all probably read this psalm many times. But when I read it in your hearing this morning, I mean, there are some things right there that just, I mean, really blessed my heart to think about those things. And I don't want it just to become a ritual. I want it to be real, and I want it to be genuine. And if you don't watch, these things just become, well, I do it, and I do it all the time, and don't think anything about it. Every time you're able to walk in those doors, you ought to thank God that you have the ability to walk in those doors. There are people that can't do that. There are people that can't hear. There are people that can't see. And I mentioned the Carters a while ago, and they have a hard time seeing. We visited Mrs. Carter in the rest home. And my wife and I went there, and Brother Carter was out in the hallway doing something, talking to somebody. And we went in there, and when we went in the room, Mrs. Carter, laying on the bed, not feeling well at all, she rose up in that bed, and she grabbed us, and she hugged us, and she cried. And, you know, that was a little thing for us, but to her it was a big thing. One time we went to church with them on Sunday, and after service she said, we want y'all to go eat with us. Will you go eat with us? We said, well, you're tired, you need to go home. And we went home with them, and we ate with, we didn't go home, we went out to the restaurant and ate. They took us out. And the next day or two, I got an email from Brother Carter, and here's what he said. Yesterday, fellowshipping with y'all was one of the best days we've had in a long time. And I don't want things just to become a habit or do it out of responsibility. I don't want it to just be a ritual in service to God. You do that with people, and you want to do that. But think about your service to God. Every time you come here, it ought to be special. Every time. I've been here when there's some really special things have happened. And I've been here when really we just had the services and everything. But you know what? My wife and I, it's special. It's special. God doesn't want us to do things for selfish reasons. He wants us to do things because we love Him and we have devotion to Him. And if you think about that all the time, have an attitude of devotion. Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. And then we look at verses 7 through 10, and it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. As you think about that today, David preached righteousness. David was a preacher. He declared God's faithfulness. You know, that's amazing to me how faithful God is to us. And it's difficult in this day and time to get people to recognize God's faithfulness to them. For us to be faithful to Him is just our reasonable service. When we've done all, when we've given all, when we've been faithful in the services, when we've been faithful in our giving, when we've been faithful in our witnessing, that is just our reasonable service. David preached about God's faithfulness and salvation, His loving kindness and truth. Telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ blesses them, but it blesses us too. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and I learned how to do some of that from my father and my mother. And others, and I've learned to do that. And they're not always saved when I witness to them, but I always walk away feeling good. And you know what? What really helped me in witnessing to other people? When I learned about the sovereignty of God and election and God predestination, foreordination. Used to, when I would go and visit somebody and talk to them, I would be afraid I would say the wrong thing, or I'd read the wrong scripture, or I'd offend them. And I was nervous, and they were nervous when I talked to them, and it just felt like the pressure cooker there. But when I came to the doctrine of grace and all that God does, and God does it all in salvation, and I realized that my job is to preach the gospel to every creature, to be a witness to them, but I go and I talk to them, and I talk to them just like we're talking today, or like I would talk to you, and I try to present the plan of the gospel to them, and then God works in their life and heart, and I don't feel pressure, and I don't want them to feel my pressure. I want the Holy Spirit to pressure them. And when you come to that teaching, that doctrine, it just takes the pressure away. It's not if I say the wrong scripture or if I say the wrong thing and trying to witness to them. I've told you this before, but a good illustration is my dad told me about a lady that was so concerned about her neighbor. And she wanted to witness to her neighbor, and she got all these scriptures, and she wrote down everything she wanted to say, and she went to her neighbor's house, and she knocked on the door, and the neighbor came to the door, and this lady who had all these scriptures and all these things written down she wanted to say, she started crying. And the more she cried, the worse it got. And she could not talk. Have you ever been in that situation? I've been there. I've tried to witness to my family. I've cried so hard I couldn't get out what I wanted to say. And she went in and she just told that lady, she said, "You're my neighbor and you're my friend. And I love you. And I want to tell you about the Lord." And her neighbor lady was saved at a later time. See, it's not in what we say or how we do it necessarily, although I think you ought to be kind and do it in the proper way. But God is the one that saves. And He sends the Holy Spirit to convict people's hearts. I've talked to people and I could tell the Holy Spirit was working on them. They weren't saved at that time, but I knew the Holy Spirit was working on them. You know, I was under conviction a long time before I was saved. And I would come to church and I knew the preacher was talking to me every service. Most of the time it was my dad, so I knew. And when the invitation was given, here's the way I would do. I would just hold on. I wouldn't sit on the front. I'd sit in the back side there by my mother, and I'm telling you, I'd hold on that pew. Boy, I felt like that pew was shaking. And I was under conviction so bad. And why I was going through that, I really don't know. But then the day God saved me, the night, I mean, the pressure was off. The burden was off. The load was off. Then I wanted to be in church. I wanted to hear the preaching. I wanted to hear the singing. I wanted to give an offering. I mean, my whole life changed. God took me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a solid rock, and He put a new song in my mouth. I want to tell you, there's nothing better than that. Is there anything better than that? Now, I like soft-serve ice cream, but it's not as good as salvation. Tonight after church, I'm going to have banana splits, the Lord willing, unless the rapture takes place. I've already found out what the menu is after church. Sorry, we don't have enough for everybody. Apologize. And I like that stuff. But it's not near as good as salvation. Last night after church, some of us went over to the coffee house. You know who the coffee man is, don't you, Brian? And we went over there and we talked and we fellowshipped and we laughed. That's what Christians... You know what? Christians can have a good time. Christians can laugh about clean, wholesome things. Christians can fellowship with each other. And you go home and you know where you've been and you know what you've done and you pretty well know what you said until you get... about 60. Then you can't remember everything you said. But what a good thing that is. Telling others about God is a blessing to them and to us. And we shouldn't be timid about that. We should ask God to give us a burden for people. And when He does, then give us the opportunity to talk to them. In the world we live today, it seems that everybody's about themselves. And that's easy to do. You can be hurt. You can be criticized, you can be complained about, or whatever the case may be. And you can start talking about, just be thinking about yourself and poor me. And many times in people's lives, we're taught in society that if you don't take care of number one, nobody else is going to take care of you. But the truth is, God's going to take care of us, isn't He? He loves His children. Now, there are a lot of children here in this church. And you know how these children are loved. They're loved by their parents. They're loved by their grandparents. They're loved by everybody in this church, the pastor, and everybody else. And we, my wife and we love them. And we thank God for them. They're noisy sometimes, and they get spanked sometimes. But I thank God for them. I thank God for them. We love them. We think, and it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And then it's about others. And then it's about us. And so as we think about that today, you know what? There are still faithful spouses. There are still faithful parents. There are still faithful friends. But the Lord is the greatest example of faithfulness. I have known ladies that stayed with husbands that how in the world they did it, I don't know, but they were faithful right to the end. David was faithful to God. God was faithful to David. Verse 17 says this. David said, "But I am poor and needy." That's what he said. "I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me that thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." David realized who he was, what he was. And he realized he needed help from the Lord. And he noticed that he knew that he needed deliverance from the Lord. And he said, "Make no tarrying, O my God." So we need to admit that. We're poor and needy. We're not self-sufficient. We're saved by grace, and yet the Lord thinks about little old me. You think about that. God thinks about us. David knew it. He said, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Now you think about that today. God knows every one of us. He knows all about us. You think about there's some 6 or 7 billion people in the world. He knows about every one of us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. That's pretty serious business there, isn't it? He knows all about us. David said, "He thinketh upon me." I close with this today. It's called "In the Valleys I Grow." Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I'd never appreciate God's love, and I would be living in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. And sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys that I grow. I do not always understand why things happen as they do, but I'm very sure of one thing: my Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death, and his victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord, for this one thing I know. The mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys that I grow. And that's really true, isn't it? Maybe some of the most difficult times in your life, God has shown you that he's sovereign, that he's in control, and that he cares about us. You know, that is amazing to me, that he cares about me, that he cares about us, that he cares about all of us, and he loves us, and he's faithful. One thing that you can never criticize our Lord for is being unfaithful to us. He is faithful. And he never, never asks us to do anything he hasn't experienced himself. And no matter how much people love you, there's nobody that loves you like the Lord does. But we go through valleys. And when we go through those valleys, and David went through a lot of valleys in his life, a lot of ups and downs, he realized that the Lord was his deliverer, and the Lord was his help, and the Lord was faithful to him. And I recommend the Lord to everybody, because he is there to help us. He is there to deliver us, and he is faithful to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to once again be in your house, to fellowship with these brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And I pray that you've taken your words today and ministered to all of our hearts. I know you have to mine, and I pray to the others. I pray for the lost that they'd be saved. I pray for the saved that we'd be drawn closer to thee. I pray that you'd forgive us of our sins. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to you because you're faithful to us. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Brother Reynolds. And 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 Brother Reynolds. at 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 Brother Reynolds.